Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the reliable domain name registration and management service that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, go to Hover.com/know-how and use the offer code Know-How.
Today we're going to do a project that every nerd should try. Today you'll know how to build a PC. Welcome to Know How. This is TWiT's how-to show. We show you all these fun projects you could do over the weekend if you want, maybe under half an hour. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and with me today is Chad Johnson, because Leo's on special assignment somewhere out there.
Yeah, I'm excited. This week we are going to build my very first PC that I actually put together myself. I've bought PCs before, but this is the first time that I have ever bought all the components, put them together into a build.
I mean, we've got some emails about this, one from Kitty saying, I don't think people know how to build PCs anymore because everyone buys tablets and laptops, so they're not used to doing this anymore. And this is a skill I suggest everybody have, because the thing is, even if you don't want to build your own PC, if you ever have to repair one, it's really good to know exactly how to put one together.
Exactly. And then some things that are interesting with this PC build is not only did I want to have a Windows machine, but I also wanted to later make it into a Hackintosh. So there were some hardware requirements for that.
Yeah, Hackintoshes are fun because you're going to be using OS X, and OS X doesn't exactly support a ton of different hardware. So you're going to have to pick very specific components. So that changes your options right away, because normally you have just the field. You can get anything you want. What resources did you use to find which components to get?
So for the hardware components, I lived on Tony Mac x86. .com. And this is a resource that vets which hardware can be used and is compatible with an OS X system. Now, there are a few things. One is it will have things that are natively supported by OS X, and then it will also, there are other options, other tools like MultiBeast that allow you to download drivers that will work within the Mac ecosystem.
So what we're going to do today is build the PC. We'll do the Hackintosh install a little later, maybe next week or week later after that. But today, it's all about putting this thing together, because we got all the components. Let's go through the components to see what you actually picked up, because we have a ton of parts.
Right. Let's do that real quick. So let's start with the motherboard. This is a Gigabyte motherboard. This is the Z77X UP5 TH, and then the TH stands for Thunderbolt. This board has two Thunderbolt ports on it. And Gigabyte tends to be more useful, more usable on OS X builds. Then for the processor, I went with an Intel i7 3770K, because I am going to be overclocking. I'm going to be doing a lot of video transcoding on this machine. For the RAM, I went with Vengeance. I did 16 gigabytes on two DIMMs, so that's 8 gigabytes each, and this is 1600 megahertz memory. That's the highest that this processor can handle. For the storage, I went with a Samsung solid-state drive. This is a 6 gigabit drive at 256 gigabytes internal storage, and we're going to get all the power that a solid-state drive allows us. For the graphics card, I went with an MSI. This is a NVIDIA chipset, and this is 2 gigabytes of video memory, and this is, I believe, GDDR5. So, and it's the 670 series of GTX video cards.
So now that you know all the components, though, you're going to need to know what kind of power supply you're going to have.
Right.
And to do that, you should try to use a power supply calculator, because the thing is, these components are going to need a lot of power. The other thing is, when you actually do this, there was one that we found, I believe, at extreme.outervision.com. You'll have a link to, by the way, if you're wondering about all the parts that Chad talked about there and all the links to everything, we'll have that at twit.tv/KH. Complete parts list will be there. You'll be able to build this yourself if you want to, and also all the links will be there. So for the power supply calculator, you got to figure exactly what can handle all this. The other thing is, when you ran the numbers, and we start off, it says 34 watts. You start adding in the components one by one by one, and eventually it looked like you needed over 400 watts of power to make this thing run. But I noticed that we have, I believe, an 850-watt power supply.
Right.
Chad, why'd you go so ridiculously overboard?
Right. So there's a little bit of a story with this power supply. Originally, it did have a 750-watt power supply, and that's still a little bit more than the calculator said. But I may be expanding on this system later, so I didn't want to need to rethink the power chain. And so I was definitely going to go with something a little bit higher. Problem is, I wanted to make sure that this would post, that all my parts actually worked, and when I did a quick test build, the power supply that I bought was no-go. It just didn't work at all. So the only thing that we could do, that I could do, I bought off of online resellers, so I had to drive as fast as I could down to Best Buy this morning and pick up a power supply, and this was the only power supply that's modular. And when I say modular, what I mean is that it has ports on the power supply to allow you to expand your power, and it doesn't have a lot of these cables, which are permanently attached. So you don't have to worry about hiding these cables somewhere else in the case. These two cables are the motherboard cable and the ATX cable, so these are pretty much required on any power supply. So I don't mind that these aren't modular, but I really wanted something where I could expand my power supply as needed and not have a bunch of cables that I wasn't going to use, because power supplies will come with gigantic Molex cables and 15 drive cables so you can expand later, and I didn't want any of that.
Yeah, earlier today I get a text from Chad saying, the PSU is dead, we seem to have a problem, I'm running to Best Buy. So
right.
That's why we have that one instead of right. some other thing. This wasn't like, oh, well, you poured over research and this right. is the best one. It was,
that's
this one
exists.
That's
the one that was available. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why we have that one today, but it's quite capable and it's going to do what we want to. What about the case? We didn't talk about this case much.
This case, this was purely aesthetic. I just love this case. It's this military green. That's the bottom. Here's the front. It has
massive panels.
Right. These panels here. Let me throw this one on. These panels clip in. This is purely for aesthetics, and the fact that I have an ATX motherboard, which is this size, so it's going to be a little bit loud. There you go. It just feels rugged. It has handles on the top. This is all metal construction. This was all just things that I wanted in a case. There was no rhyme or reason other than the fact that it was ATX motherboard sized. And that's it. And this is a Corsair Vengeance case.
Now this case actually has built-in cable management. If we can get inside here, you can see that there's these ports here where you can take the cables and string them around back to make it a very clean install once you do all that. So this is a heck of a case. You know, before we start installing things, start screwing things in, why don't we summon Leo Laporte? I have this weird, like, telepathic connection to him. He's saying he wants to say something. What is it, Mr. Laporte?
Wow, this is cool, isn't it? We're going to go back in just a moment to the manufacturer of a PC. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Hover.com. We've talked before about Hover. You know, Elliot Noss, who's the CEO at Two Cows, has come to visit us a couple of times. And each time he comes out, I think this was at South by Southwest, he said, Leo, we want to completely reinvent how people register domain names. We feel like it's not working. In fact, the Two Cows had their own domain name registrar for a long time. They said, we're going to create this thing called Hover. It will be domain registration simple. There won't be a lot of upselling. You get Whois privacy automatically as part of the deal. You get a great management console. And we're going to do this thing that nobody's ever done, which is no-hold phone service. And this is, I think, one of their greatest successes. If you call Hover, 1-866-731-6556, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, a live person will answer quickly, and they will not put you on hold. They will not make you wait. They will not transfer you. They will solve your problem. Now, that's a good number to call. You'll find it right at the front page at Hover.com, because you can also get them to do their domain transfer concierge service. And I wish I had done this. I love this idea. You say, hey, I have my domains. They're on, you know, xyz.com, and I'd like to transfer them over, and they'll handle it all for you. Now, normally they charge $25, but I have it on good authority. If you say that hey, Leo said you'd waive that, they will do it. $10 to transfer a domain, by the way. That includes one full year of additional, you know, take whatever you've got left on your domain and add another year for $10. That's a very good deal. They have all the big domain, in fact, 23 top-level domains, .com, .net, .org, of course, but also things like .tv, .pro, .mobi, .biz, country codes, .ca, .asia, .us, .uk, and on and on and on. I really am a fan of Hover. I've moved all my domains over there. I want you to do the same. You know, this is, by the way, how I know that you want to use a concierge service, because the other guys locked all my domains. It took me a long time. If you do it right, you know, which they know how to do, it's much more simple. So take the hassle out of owning and managing domain names with smart, easy-to-use, friction-free domain name registration. The next time you say, I want to register a domain, you know what? Create a Hover account now. And the next time you say, I got to have it, I'm going to register that domain, you'll be ready. By the way, if you go to hover.com/knowhow, you'll get 10% off your new domain name. Or you could use the offer code KNOWHOW, KNOWHOW. Hover, domain name registration done right from those great folks at Tucows. Speaking of doing it right, I think that Chad and Ayaz are over there screwing. So let's take a look.
So we take this screw and then we...
Oh, sorry.
Okay, well...
They're back.
Thanks, Leo. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
So what we need to do before we put this motherboard inside this case, we should put the processor in.
Right. So make it easy. Let's go ahead and get the processor in so we don't have to reach into a case. And these processors now come with almost any processor you're going to get is going to come with a heatsink installed, or not installed, but with the case. So here's our little processor. This little thing is one of the most expensive parts of the computer.
And this is why we're glad Chad's on, because previously he wasn't going to be on the episode. I was going to probably break one, two, or three of his things here, but thankfully he can be responsible.
If I break it, it's my fault. So we're going to go ahead and pop this open. We're going to remove that cover.
This little piece here. Now, a long time ago, back when I was a kid, these processors used to have pins on the end here.
Right.
Now they're all pads. The pins are on the motherboard. That always made me really nervous when I was younger, because I'm like, I'm going to bend a pin.
Right.
Not exactly a scenario you could run into.
So now if you bend a pin, you have to send back your motherboard. There are some notches on this processor, and they match up with the thing. And this is called zero force insertion. So I'm just going to lay this on top of there and not push it down, not touch it. And we're just going to lay as long as those notches lined up, everything should be fine. And you're going to go ahead and push it down. This worried me the first time because you can hear a little bit. Whoops!
It sounds like a mouse trap there, Chad.
Exactly. Here, let me make sure that good. It's seated correctly. This you can hear a little bit of crunching. You can hear it kind of moving around in there, and everything is fine. Our processor is in, and I wanted to do that before because I don't want to be reaching over, and this is a really scary part. Now that that's done, we can go ahead and place it inside of the case.
Why don't you pick up the motherboard? I'll move this underneath so we can get a good shot of that.
So.
There's my pen. I lost that earlier today. That was given to me by Becky in the chat room.
So we're going to go ahead and place the motherboard in.
All right. So.
And what I'm going to do, the technique for this, is I'm going to slide this motherboard up to the I.O. port, which I already installed. That was something that I did before the show. It's just the port that comes with the motherboard that matches all of the outputs. And then we're going to use that sort of as a guide to set this on the standoffs. And this case was already created for an ATX motherboard, so all the standoffs are in place already. I didn't have to screw them in myself.
Lining up this ATX motherboard with the actual standoffs was a little tricky in this case. What we found is that you have to actually push the motherboard in into the I.O. ports here, and that will allow you to line up things properly, because you do not want, if you can see inside, there's this little peg. You don't want that scratching anything. So you want to line it up very carefully before you continue.
Right. And this I.O. board has a little bit of insulation, which means that it gives a little bit. So we actually had to push the motherboard in. Now that peg is through, this is really seated quite well. But we want to go a step further, obviously, and go ahead and screw it in. So the case came with little screws So I'm going to give you some. I'm going to give myself some.
You know, the fun thing is, as we were taking a look at taking an inventory of all the parts, you do end up with extras because the cases will come with components that you might not need for this particular motherboard. So don't be afraid to have extra parts. I know that sounds strange. This is not like a car build. You can easily have extra cables and extra screws because that, well, it's just good to have.
Right. And the rule with adding screws to these motherboards is make sure that they're snug, but you do not want them to be too extremely tight. You don't want to try to ratchet these down to make sure that you know nothing's ever going to move, because you could actually, when you need to remove the motherboard later, you could have to pull out, it might take out the standoffs on the other side.
Oh, you don't want to snap the board just
right
by pushing a ton of pressure there?
Yeah, these screws go directly into safe areas of the motherboard.
So we're going to keep going. And if you're seeing the shot of inside the actual PC and you're seeing the motherboard, you might be able to see that all of these things are labeled. Every single part of this is labeled. It's pretty much like a paint-by-numbers kind of scenario when it comes to actually installing all of these little plugs, because everything is written over here. They might be tiny, and you might not be able to see that on camera right now, but when your head is there and you're reading these things, you can see all kinds of labels.
Right. So this board only has 8 screws, 8 for the motherboard, so I'm going to go ahead and grab these other screws, put them back in the bag. We don't want them moving around. And now we're done with the motherboard. The motherboard
we're
is
finished.
Now
that's
inside.
The computer right there.
The computer is
I love
finished.
It. It seems really much easier.
Kidding.
I remember it had more parts.
Of course,
last
kidding.
Time.
So one of the things that I'd like to add now is actually I'm going to go ahead and suggest that we install the power supply unit. And that is so that we can ground ourselves while working. Now, we've been constantly touching the outside of this case to make sure that we're grounded. And what that could cause, if you don't ground yourself correctly, is shorts on the board. And you could install a part that just never works because you've already shorted it. You've killed it before you even turned on the PC. So way to avoid that is quite easy. Don't walk with your socks on carpet and just start
don't
touching
rub, don't
electronics.
Don't rub your pets,
right.
Pet them or anything.
Exactly.
Don't come anywhere near this thing. It's common sense at that
just
point.
Make sure to discharge every once in a while by touching something. We're actually working on a static charge sheet right here that is grounded.
There should be grounded.
And so to further on that sort of scenario, I'm going to go ahead and suggest that we install the power supply unit, and that will allow us to plug that in, and then it's super grounded. We are. There's no way that we could get any more
now,
grounded.
Who told you that information? Because I hadn't heard that
this
before.
This was Ryan. Ryan Marsh,
I thought you meant Ryan Trout.
No. Ryan Marsh, Shard Lighting Guy, who did, is his last name Marsh?
His name is still Marsh, yeah.
Yeah, good, awesome. Yeah, who did the Pelican case build. So we're going to go ahead and install that. That just slides straight on up to the front.
Screws.
And then we can get some screws that are in the packaging.
So we're going to install the Thermaltake power supply.
Right.
It's only like 4 screws in the back here.
Right. And then that just seats. Now, this case, the power supply is at the bottom. You may have a case where it's at the top in some other location. That's just how this case is set up.
I mean, this is relatively straightforward and quite simple. Now, you're picking the power supply in there to ground everything to make sure that we're not going to run into any issues with static or frying components. You know, back when I was a kid and messing with PCs, man, did I not know anything. I installed a sound card while the machine was on. You know what happens when you do that,
Ooh,
Chad?
That's probably the.
I fried the
yeah.
Son of a gun, and it was all done. And thankfully, it was covered by a warranty because I didn't
wow.
know it was there. So
wow.
My Tandy sensation way back when I think you were being born was covered by a warranty. So all of these screws are in the power supply.
So let's go ahead and check. And is this power supply in the off position? I can't tell. Circle is off. Line is on. So circle is off. And I'm going to go ahead and plug in. Is it the other way?
No, that's correct.
No, yeah, right. Go ahead and plug that in there.
And watch a disaster happen.
And now that's actually plugged into the wall, and now we're as grounded as we possibly can be. If it's in the off position, this is now touching the case. No way we get any more grounded than that, so touching the outside of this case is gonna be perfect.
So we want to route some of these power cables.
Right.
We can go through the actual system. I like fitting things really messy because I want to see if everything's going to work before I do all the cable management. This is your machine. You let me know how you want to do it.
It'll be really, really quick to just throw these back through, and it'll also show off that this case is quite simple in its wire management. You just throw your cables back through the bottom of the case, and they come out the other side. And then you can route them wherever you need. So I know that this motherboard case is going to go into this secondary output right here. Let me move a few more cables out of the way. Push this through. It's going to come through. And then it's going to reach right here to the other side, to the motherboard.
Yep.
So I'm going to go ahead and plug it in. I know that the power supply is off. And let's check this out. It goes in. And we should hear a snap. Didn't hear a snap, but I can tell that the teeth have grabbed onto the
other. You can test it by trying to pull on it if you want. It's not going to come out.
And then this motherboard requires another ATX power. I'm going to slide that in through
is
the
top. Is that going to reach?
I hope it will.
Because if it doesn't, we have to go just through.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to reach.
I don't think that's going to reach either.
We're just going to go through the front then.
Yeah, we were not given enough slack.
This is why you don't want to tie everything down just yet.
Exactly.
Start dry feeding all your items here.
So now I'm going to check.
We can put it down.
There we are. Yeah, go ahead and set her down.
Okay.
And that is seated well. Great. So that is our motherboard power.
All right. So now, what should we do next here?
Now I'd say now that we have the power installed, let's go ahead and put on the heatsink. We're kind of jumping all around. Now this heatsink is the one that comes standard with the Intel processor. So you'll get a heatsink that looks a lot like this. Whenever you buy a processor, and we are just going to pull that out. Now, I've already done a test build with this, so the thermal paste, which normally comes pre-installed on this heatsink, is not on here anymore because I went ahead and wiped it off. But that gives us a chance to show how to install thermal paste. And we have Arctic Silver 5 thermal paste. This is a really good high-end brand that people really suggest to use. So we're going to go ahead and install that. What we're going to do is take off the little cap. I've already pre-cleaned my processor with a lint-free
cloth.
Cloth. There you are.
So you're going to place an amount that's a little larger than the size of rice, a little bit smaller than a pea. You don't have to put a whole lot of thermal paste on the processor. This might be a little bit on the
scampi?
Much side. I think it's
a lot. Plenty,
yeah.
There we go.
You want to do it in the center. When you put the fan on there, it's what it's going to do is it's going to spread on top of the processor,
right.
And that should give you some nice heat transfer.
So I'm going to pull this fan wire off and just position this. Now, this is an Intel board, so the Intel, I don't know what these are called, connectors are right here. If you have an AMD board, your connectors are going to be a little bit different. Let me make sure that my clips are correct. There we are. And we're just going to set it down. And because we are using such a high-end thermal paste, it's more liquid than it is solid. And so it's just the pressure from the heatsink on top of the processor will spread that out across the way evenly. There's a lot of different schools of thought to applying thermal paste. And just pushing these down will connect it. And now that is in place.
It's relatively straightforward right now. You push down these four points, and it's on there. We're all set right there. We just need to plug this in.
Exactly. So the CPU fan header is just right here on the board. So
now again, it's all labeled right there.
Yep.
If you move your finger, chat, you can see. Audience can see it says CPU fan. It's really much more simple than it used to be.
Right.
Because this is very, very simple. And these things are – it's very hard to put these things in wrong because they're keyed.
Right.
The thing is these shapes don't just fit any which way.
Right. There we go. That's in.
That's it.
And we could do cable management later. Now that that is installed, let's go ahead and move on to the memory. That's really easy. We have the Corsair Vengeance memory.
I think the hardest thing might be opening the box on this case.
It
really is a snazzy box for RAM.
I'm going to give you a DIMM and me a DIMM. Some people were asking what these crazy black things are on the top of these memory. These are just heat sinks. These are pretty much considered just good looking. Not really, they don't really do much. These are also keyed. There's a notch on the bottom of the memory, and that will match your memory module. Now, on my board, because this is a Z77 board, there are four DIMM slots. The first two, all of them are either black or gray. These first two gray ones are 1 and 2. So I'm just going to slide these in. It's labeled on the board itself what they are. You give it a little bit of force, and it's going to lock itself in. Go ahead and do the second one.
Let's do that one here. Let's line it up. Put some downward force, and it's all locked in. So we got our RAM already installed. Pretty simple.
Right, and that's it for the RAM. RAM's installed. Now we're going to move on to the video card. And I believe you have the box
behind
you.
Yes, I have the video card. You know what? So we haven't said exactly how much this build cost you, Chad, because this is the MSI GTX 670, is that correct?
So this card, this piece alone on the build is probably the most expensive part. I will be doing some gaming on this. This piece runs around $500.
$500 for the graphics card alone. So we're not building a budget system. This is your personal system.
This is my personal system. I expect to do some gaming. So what we're doing on the, right now is we're pulling off these little I.O. They have a specific name, but I forget them. But I have thumb screws on the back of the case because this is kind of a nicer case. I don't really need these tools.
Just gonna pop these covers off.
And then we're just gonna drop this card right in. I know that the top PCI Express slot is my x16 slot, so it is the 16x version of the slot, so we're going to use that one to keep the card installed. And it will just drop in. There's a little locking mechanism at the back, and we're going to go ahead and lock that.
And all that, and again, all that is labeled again. You'll be able to see what's a 16 and 8, a 4.
And if it doesn't fit, don't force it, because you may be using the wrong Express slot.
Oh, the comedy. I've seen so many things done wrong with those where, like, somebody's actually cut off pieces of the graphics card because it didn't fit. And don't do that.
No, don't do that. And these, now, it's good to know that sometimes your parts, when you get them in and you start to put them in your case, they really won't fit. And depending on your, say, your heat sink or something like that, they may bump into memory. That's going to happen. There's really no way, unless if you use like a 3D modeler to make sure that you get it all right. Sometimes that's just going to happen. You're just going to have to compromise on your parts.
This thing's going to need some power, though. A lot of this stuff's going to need some power. You've already pre-installed, I believe,
a hard drive. Because the hard drive needed to be screwed in, and I didn't really want to do that live, I went ahead and installed the hard drive into one of the bays. Because this is an SSD, all I had to do was go around to the back, and there's some screws to screw this in. And this drops in just like this without any tools.
So there's lots of room for expansion. And obviously, though, because this is not going directly into the motherboard, we're going to have to route some SATA cables over, as well as power.
Right. So let's go ahead and get into now power routing. So the graphics card is going to need two PCI power slots. And this cable that comes with the power supply actually has two of them on them. And then we're going to need a power cable for the hard drive. So let's go ahead and open these up.
Let's clean this up.
And
really trying to get in there.
This is normal for these power cables to have.
You probably have a better angle than I do.
To have
on
more
one.
Than one of these power things.
Let's
on
see.
It.
See, which one is this one?
Right.
All right.
There you
well,
go.
Let me get in there.
Cool.
You're gonna be up and into system, so it'll be fun for you. Where is this one?
That is.
Can't see
go
the
on
black.
The black. There you go.
I'm just gonna randomly place these. I mean, you can clean it up
later. And now these are gonna go through the port, and hope that'll has. I just do, you know what, we're not going to make this pretty. We're just going to go ahead and throw these two in here. So these are the PCI.
Yeah, I mean, cable management in a PC is an art unto itself. So right now, we just want to get this thing to boot and make sure everything runs fine. And we can clean this up at a later time.
Right, and I don't need these extras.
That's another thing I was nervous about when I was building PCs. I'm like, what are these extra things?
Yeah.
Why don't they have
sometimes
to do
sometimes you just don't need the, they give you extra stuff just in case, and you just don't need it. So I'm going to go ahead and throw this through the back.
These handles are pretty handy.
I love the handles.
Handles are handy. That's right. I said it.
And then I'm also going to just go ahead and slide this right in and call it a day.
Connected to the
there we go.
Hard drive right there.
Now, while we're back here, I'm actually going to grab a SATA cable, which should be in the motherboard.
I'll grab that.
And I'm going to go ahead and plug that into the data port of the drive.
There's your SATA cable.
Wonderful.
Let's put this down. By the way, when you're doing this build on your own, by the way, you probably want a larger desk than we have.
Right. We have a studio desk.
I'm a big fan of a dining room table for this kind of thing because you have enough room, enough space. You can do what you want with this.
I was trying to figure out.
The light got stuck to the bottom.
I was trying to figure out what we were hitting back there.
Okay, thank you, John, off screen.
Now, this motherboard has two ports for SATA 3 and four ports for SATA 2. Because this is a solid-state drive, I'm going to want to use that SATA 3 port. So I'm just going to go ahead and slide that
in.
Yeah,
in this
right
case,
in.
On the motherboard, these are the ones that are white, not on black. So trying to get Alex into here, you can see that this is the SATA 3 port. These are SATA 2. And this motherboard in particular actually has some information about this port being turned off if you use mSATA. It's a whole other thing that we can't get into right now. Let's get to keep going with this. So we've got pretty much everything attached.
Yeah.
What's left?
Let me think. We have RAM. We have video card. We have motherboard processor.
All the little tiny connections.
Fans. So This motherboard has, all motherboards will have connections for things that are on the case. This case has a power switch, it has a reset switch, and it has some USB 3. So over here, we maybe should have done this before we got in a few of these other components, but not only are we going to be plugging in the fans, but we're going to be plugging in the front panel information.
So we're going to try to speed this up and try to get this moving along.
Right, and that is called the F-panel, and so you will see on your motherboard there is a slot called F-panel. Now, that information is really detailed, and it's kind of hard to reach in there and put them in. So I would suggest making sure that you look at your motherboard manual to make sure that you're not going to screw up and put in any of the tiny little connectors, and I can show you these teeny tiny connectors. Just a second. Yeah,
where I am in the back, there's actually four pins, and this has three spots.
Right.
When you see the light, you can actually see that there's this little piece of black there showing you how to slide on this connector to that. I know it's going to be very difficult to see, and when you do it yourself, you'll know. I just can't see in here because we're doing it live. Thank you, Alex. Snickering at me. There we go. That one is in.
Okay,
got a CPU fan there. I mean, a regular fan there, system fan.
I'm plugging in the high-definition audio cable. These are all keyed, so if they don't slide in easily, just don't do it. I'm also going to put in the USB 3 cable, because I have two USB 3 ports in the front of the case. Let's go ahead and slide that in. Now, as I was saying earlier, this is the F-panel connector. Now, I happen to know that my positive power needs to go over on this side, and my negative power needs to go on the other.
Now, that was instructions you had in your actual motherboard instructions,
right?
Because there are three pins there, and there's actually only two for the positive and negative.
Right.
So you might be like, why is there an extra pin? Don't worry about it.
Right. Some cases are going to need that. Mine does not. So those two are in. Then the next thing I have is the reset switch, the power LED, the hard drive LED, and let me actually look at the because I know there are three of them in a certain configuration.
Three of what now?
There is a hard drive LED switch. Here we are. Nope, that is the trusted platform module. Here we are.
The TPM.
Okay, so the hard drive active LED switch is the bottom left. So let me go ahead and grab that one. There we are. And these are teeny tiny. Now, one thing that I saw on another motherboard was that they had a little extra thing. So now I'm going to do the power switch, and that goes to the top.
Yeah, so in case you do get yourself all connected like this and you're kind of stuck and you can't see stuff, your instructions will have a map to explain things to. Just so simple. The most difficult part is making these things, making the actual connections, because it's kind of tight in there.
Right. And then the last one is the reset switch, which I'm trying to aim blindly at.
Now, this motherboard, while Chad's working on it, has all kinds of cool functions. By the way, this thing has two BIOSes on it, if that's the plural of BIOS. It has a backup one in case you somehow mess up the main one. So there's a switch, I think it's right over there, and we can take care of that.
Yeah, so here's your backup BIOS switch right here. It's just labeled switch 4. It's a little, we were like, what does SW4 stand for? Just switch 4. This board also has an error light LED, which is on the other side.
That's over here.
It's really difficult to see because of the power cable and the memory installed. So this is a little error.
You would see error codes there if this thing boots up. So now, right. I think what we could do is hook up the cable and, the VGA.
I agree, yeah. We have this monitor actually uses dual link DVI, so let's go ahead and throw that on there.
We're going to have to move things back.
Yeah.
Do you want to just move the monitor?
Yeah, I'll just move the monitor.
That's plugged in. We're going to cause all kinds of havoc here.
And if we did everything right, hopefully it will go ahead and show us a boot screen. The things that we haven't done on this build is install an operating system. So we will only be able to get to a boot screen, and then it's going to start looking for an operating system to run, and we haven't installed that yet, so.
And there's no optical drive.
And there's no optical drive, so when I want to install an operating system, I'm going to have to plug one into the USB at the back. So let's go ahead and do it. I have either a power button here or a power button on the board.
I should probably turn this thing on.
Go ahead and turn that on. Let me also make sure that the monitor is on, because that's another thing that we could run into problems with.
Yeah, the monitor should be on. Might be a good sign to see if the actual machine is working, because how would you possibly know?
Is it plugged in?
It should be plugged in.
Woohoo.
It's plugged in. I don't see if this thing is actually on.
Yeah.
What brand is this?
This is a little bit of a backstory to this monitor. It's called a Shimian. It is a 1440 by. It's a 1440 high resolution monitor. But it only cost me $300. I bought it from South Korea. It may be that we need to go buy and go grab another monitor real quick. Do we have can we grab one off my desk or something? Because there should be a blue LED that says that this thing is on and looking for signal, but it's not doing that right now. So
we do have this HDMI, but you don't have an HDMI out on this, do you?
I don't.
Wait a second. The display port. Lots of different ports back here. Let's see if you got an HDMI. That looks like an HDMI.
Cool. Let's do it.
We could connect this to the actual TriCaster and see what the heck happens.
Sure. Do you have that hooked up?
That's not going to work, but because it needs to be at a particular resolution.
Well, let's pull out.
Plug it into that TV.
We can plug it into this TV. My crappy South Korean monitor is not.
Is it not turning on?
It's not turning
That's
on.
That's the problem we're having, is the
right.
monitor,
oh,
not
you know
this.
This is all like loosey-goosey. Here we go. Plug that in.
Flickered light.
Did it flick on?
Yep. Let's go.
There we go. Now we're ready. Make sure that the dual link is on. Cool. Let's go ahead and hit the power button and see what happens. Hopefully we will see fans spin up. We do.
Good. That means we've connected
fans
properly.
Fans are working. We have some lights over here. My little error code LED is blinking through the processes that it's doing. So if for some reason it gets hung up, we will see why.
So now's the moment of truth to see.
And hopefully, this really cheap monitor that is really high resolution will show.
We've got
there
something.
We are. So now this is the boot screen. It's not going to get any further than this because we don't have an operating system installed. Also, if we had a keyboard and a mouse, we could start clicking through the BIOS. So we have that here. But this is all kind of stuff for another episode. We have built a PC. It is running. It's gotten to the boot screen. And everything is working.
We're going to have to do like a triple boot on this thing at some point. Hackintosh,
absolutely.
Linux, Windows, maybe even something crazier. Let's put OS 2 on this if you want. I don't know.
Okay.
I love OS 2. I'm a big fan of it. Anyway, Chad, thanks for bringing in your gear to put this together on our show. This is fantastic. If people wanted to find you online, how exactly could people find OMG Chad?
Well, you can go to omgchad.com. There's links to all of the social networks around the internet, and then also I do a little show about Minecraft, so go on over to omgcraft.com, and that's the only show that I do at the moment, so you can go ahead and check that out.
Could this possibly handle Minecraft? It seems like it's a little underpowered,
Chad. This is going to handle Minecraft like nobody's business. The whole reason I got 16 gigabytes of memory so I could play Minecraft like crazy.
Now, we did this episode because you guys wrote in. So if you want, you got show ideas, give us an email at knowhow@twit.tv. We love your suggestions. There are all kinds of projects we're working on. That's why we did a number of these things. Hackintosh is coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Chad, thanks again for being on.
Of course.
And now that you guys know how, go do it.